Everyone's so crispy, man. I love it. Oh my God, not Woody Buzz Lightyear to the rescue. Holy smoke. Hey, man.
Yo.
Chompy said that's a whole documentary to start the damn show.
Yo, why does motherfucker throw a WWE punches? Like he's running out the Stone Cold and shit. Yo.
Also, I know your kid want to rap, but I'm so sorry, man. That filmmaker is in him.
That
Yeah.
isn't it really like everyone I've shared this with has been like, okay, number one, it's fucking hilarious.
Yes.
Two, it's brilliant. Like, it's captivating.
Yes.
So let me give you the backstory on this fucking documentary. I love it so much.
He did. He gave it to us already. The whole
Yes.
story.
No, but
He
there
was
is
like, he's better than Vlad.
right.
Fuck Vlad.
No, but so he was like, oh man. So this is his friend Jacob, goes by Two Faded Jacob. And then I don't know if you saw in the end, it says
Free.
free 2FJ.
Yes, I
So then
saw.
so Gavin is like, yeah, you know, I think my friend's gonna get in a fight. It's like turned into like a slap boxing thing. He's like, and not, it isn't really a thing. He's like, I think my friend's just up to some bullshit. And he does have a lot of care and compassion for this friend. So he even told him, like, listen, man, relax. Like, you want to fight? You and I can fight. Like, if you need to get something out, like, let's do this. But like, you're gonna run up on this guy when it really isn't a thing, you
Yeah,
know?
Gavin shouldn't fight him. That'll be a quick fight for Gavin. That's the
Yeah.
easy work for Gavin. That dude ain't got
It
no
really
hands.
is, which I think is also why he did.
That's child abuse at this point.
Right, seriously. Yeah. This it would not be a running a fade as it would just be a full delete.
Yes.
But so Gavin texts me on October 25th, as stated in the documentary, and he's like, oh, Jacob got into his fight. And I was like, damn. I was like, and I asked him something like, you know, what happened? And he's like, oh, I'm gonna make a documentary. And I was like, what? So I saw this kid working at the dinner table for maybe 20 minutes, and this is what he produced on his phone.
Like Hype
Bruh.
Williams.
Right. I was like, it, but it, like he said, you know, he's into the rapping, but
Good.
this is different.
Or he's going to end up shooting his own videos, and that's dope too.
Right, exactly. Just be
Yeah.
the only one. Because even like when I sent it to like Sean and Baylor and Mike from What Up Though, Mike was like, number one, this is fucking hilarious. Two, like, why have I watched it multiple times? Like,
Yes.
It's captivating. It really
yeah.
is.
Yeah, he's got angles in there and shit.
Look, yeah, that
He's
little
got
side
the
ain't going to fight.
right. I was like,
I'm not, I'm kind of like, okay, was there a second cameraman?
exactly. I was like, do you have a camera crew? What the fuck is this? Do you
Yo,
outsource video?
can I speak to Gavin for a second? Can I speak to my
Yes,
young boy
directly.
for a minute? Gavin, as a former rapper, there's no money in rap. What there is money in is fucking directing and producing.
Oh, and you left the part out and longevity.
And longevity, yes.
You can become a songwriter. Worry not. You can rap for a
Yeah.
little bit, then you can write other people's raps. You'll be
You can write
fine.
well, exactly. Like you can write for Drake.
Right,
Lord knows he
exactly.
needs it.
Yeah.
Gavin. Directors get bread. Lots of bread.
Yes.
You have a talent.
A
The
whole
quickest to
loaf.
sell out whenever they go on strike.
Yeah.
Have you seen washed up rappers? They are sad.
Or podcasters. Yeah,
Yes.
same.
Yes. It's not too many lanes you can go into.
Yeah.
But have you seen washed up directors? No, because there is none.
No. They only
Only way
get
a director's getting washed up if they do something really bad.
I was just about to say
And nobody and they don't get canceled for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just because they wash themselves.
Because
Yes.
old boy just live in Europe like shit sweet.
Right,
Yeah, I was gonna
exactly.
say that. Then you just move to Europe and you'll be good.
Yeah. But my favorite part of the whole documentary is in the end when it does say free 2FJ, because
Yeah.
then Gavin got a little chuckle out of that because I've been referring to his friend as 2FJ. So he didn't come up with that. I did.
Ah.
So then Gavin's like, he doesn't even know that my dad came up with 2FJ. He's like, and
Just
now
a
he's out here.
nice little shout out to your to his
Yeah.
pop, man. I bang with it.
Yeah, so that was a little like cherry on the top for me, you know, just like I respect it. That's a me to you type of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I had to drop that gem on you guys.
It's brilliant. I love it. Like I said, better than Vlad.
Right. So I hope you all enjoy the cold open. Here's the intro. Welcome everybody to this episode of Cadillac on Mars. We did things a little bit differently today. I really wanted to get the raw response, the raw.
You know what I know what's funny about that?
What?
In my head, I'm thinking I'm going to see a long intro like I do when I'm on PSVG. And when I didn't get that, my brain broke.
Wait, so do they not just edit that in after the fact?
No, because we do the show on
They
all
have
that
do
kind
it
of stuff.
live. A
And we do it
thing.
live. We do it live, so all that stuff comes through. So we hear everything. Well, with my bad internet, I don't hear shit. I just see the end of
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
There is
So
no
look,
place for bad internet in 2023. You got to do something. You got to holler at
No.
somebody.
Over here we just go insert, move, sound.
Exactly.
Done.
That's...
And then that's how it goes down. But you know, I'm here. I just wanted to enjoy this moment with my friends. One, I'm very proud of my son's work. I think he really does have an artistic vision.
Yeah.
Even when he had me for like one of his most recent songs, which is really fucking good. His song right now, Type C, that he has out. I'm super into it. Like I do listen to it like on a daily basis. He's tried some new things on there. I do have to share one with you guys as well. I can't remember the name right now. But he tried to switch up his flow. He tried to go for an Earl Sweatshirt vibe. And I was like,
Okay.
that's not so bad either. But he has a vision on how he wants his videos to be. And
Yeah.
then when he puts it together, I'm like, one, it really shows just how quick like these kids are. Like, it's not about like finding a friend who has a computer or a fucking board you can work with. It's all on your fucking phone. Like, just do it. You know,
Yeah.
but I thought you guys would appreciate it. We got Delvin in the house tonight. We got T back on the scene.
The building.
We're gonna go through all these all of our stuff. What's up with you? What's good to great? What's up with that? What you playing? What you watching? What you spending? We're gonna do all that stuff. But there's something, and we missed T last time, and I need the history in this because in a few episodes back. On Stays Crunchy and Milk, Cleveland's longest running podcast,
Correct.
T made this statement. Bill Nye will steal your woman. And this has fucking stuck in my head, and I've refused to Google it because I need to hear it from the man who stated this.
I'll put the link in the notes, bro. Just go click the
What
link.
swag? What is Bill Nye got
It a
that's got
video?
the that takes the
No,
women?
I promise you, it's just an old school meme that Chalfie seems unaware of.
I didn't know this was the thing. Fuck.
Go click that link. I put it in the notes, and then I will sprinkle a little on top of it. Bill Nye, Mr. Steal Your Girl. Truly, like I said, it's old school little like meme. But there's this I don't know, entertainer in Vegas, Claire Sinclair, used to be a Playboy model, and she had this video with her and Bill Nye just like crossed paths, and Bill turn around on a like kind of like get that look, and then they like link, and they just have a little fun little you know little side. I'm like, so I'm like I laugh because I see that video, and it makes me go back to this little meme, and so it just like Bill Nye, Mr. Steal Your Girl, man.
Well, because I remember there was a video a while back too where there were like some 20-something girls like in an elevator,
Yeah.
and then like Bill Nye like steps into the elevator or steps out, and they were swooning over Bill Nye.
Makes
And
sense.
so that's why when you said this, I was like, wait, so this is a thing. Like Bill Nye's out in these streets. He's collecting women, putting notches on the bedpost. He's like, it's data, baby.
Hey. I like
He's
the
like,
idea of Bill Nye being Mrs. Steal Your Girl for real,
right,
for
exactly.
real.
He's like, I'm trying to see what that panty condensation's like.
Baby, you know I'm an engineer.
I believe it. But just think, look at it like this. There's a generation of people who grew up on Bill Nye. And that generation of people and generation of girls who, when Bill Nye, what, how old Bill Nye was when he started that show?
Probably had to be in his 30s, right?
Like in his
Yeah,
30s.
straight up.
So these 15, 16-year-old women are now like 25, 26, and that probably was their crush when they were 15, 16 years old. So they see Bill Nye, like,
He
oh.
was the handsome older man.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's a thing. Learn them a little bit of science.
Right, exactly.
At least he's not Neil deGrasse Tyson, because I just found out about that cat and I didn't know that, and I'm like, oh.
Wait, what's the story there?
Ooh,
I've like really been off the internet
he
for a while.
well, no, that's it's a little old,
Yeah.
and we don't have any proof of it, and there's no been never been charged against him, but quite possibly he assaulted a woman,
Dang.
multiple,
and
maybe.
I only knew the one,
I think it's
so
multiple.
well, yeah, so
From what I
that's
was
all,
hearing.
yeah, so, and it sucks because it's like he's such a brilliant dude,
Yeah.
he's so pro-black, you know what I'm saying? So
Yes.
he ain't never one of them dudes that's just like kind of like, oh, I'm just here for everybody. No, he
No.
pro black, you know what I'm saying? Slight
He
lightweight militant.
still lets you know he's from the block.
For sure,
Yes.
for sure. And yeah, and he will tell you about, where he came up and so forth. So it's like you appreciate him on that level. Then it turns out, man, he might have been doing dirt of
Damn.
that does of that ilk, and it's just like, damn, man. It's just like it ain't what it come down to, bro, man. It's like so many dudes, man. It's just
So many
so many
dudes you
people.
respect.
You can never have a damn hero.
No.
Yeah.
It's like they're always they talk about on the read quite often. They're like, they hate giving anyone any like praise or respect because by the time they release that episode, the next day that person has done a thing where they're
Yep.
like, fuck, we just talked kindly about you. And now you're out here smacking people. You're out
Yeah.
here acting reckless.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's why I'm gonna be smart. Gavin's my hero. He's too young to do something reckless. He's
No,
still
he is the right age.
yeah, but he's in the age where it can be forgiven. Like you can't be like 50 and doing some of the stuff people be doing.
True, 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 true. So, damn. Well, now I see the meme. Now I get it all. But let's start off with tea because,
Don't know if that's a good idea.
well,
Me,
I want
whoa.
to.
What you do is you get my shit out the way, then y'all just give me do better.
That's what I'm saying. No,
I don't
because
know if we
before
could
you
even
hopped
care.
on, no, this is a landing. We're gonna start on the ground level, then we're gonna pick it up. We're gonna start soaring high. We don't want turbulence in the air,
Okay.
But no, Delvin and I were just talking about this latest episode of Skim that came out, and that it was a very hard listen. Not because of the content or because like it was problematic, it was just the emotion.
Yeah.
It was just like you could hear the hurt, you could hear all of that. So, T, take it away.
That's where I guess running down the line. 2 weeks ago, today, as we sit here, my kid's mom's grandpa died. Seems like whatever. Wait, well, who cares, T? Whatever. But that's my kid's great grandfather,
Right.
and pretty much the only grandfather they have in their life.
Okay.
Because their mom's dad was never involved with her, and my dad been gone was gone before my youngest was even born. So,
So
and
this really is just like, this is grandpa, period.
yeah, and he was 92 years old, God rest his soul.
Wow.
So a very long and happy life. Outlived his wife by a good 20 some odd, maybe it feel like 20 odd years, but for a while nonetheless. And so we had that all that comes with that, his passing, his viewing, his funeral. And I had to chuckle a couple of different ways. So I pull up on the set at the viewing, and they're like, "You here for this?" I'm like, "Yeah, okay, just right there." Okay, so they happy as what at the funeral home, and then at the actual funeral that next day, it's at this ch church in the in basically Dan's hood. So, and And I pull up and I start, lining up to get in the line of people who are gonna be going to the cemetery.
Yeah.
Anyways, are you family? I go, yes, I am. And
Yeah.
it's like, he don't understand it because he doesn't understand it. And so then until
You're
all
like,
my family
it wasn't an affair. I
until all my family starts showing up, and it's like, oh, he's family. I'm like, yeah, idiot.
Yes.
I'm married to the mom.
Yeah.
Understand it.
Let it be.
And it was, of course, funerals suck. I hate them. And whatever. But it was dope to see some people I hadn't seen in some time. I see people I always see who are like, oh, thank you, T, for being here, present at our father's funeral, and so on, like, you know what I'm saying? And random story. My wife's people did not fuck my ex-wife's, whatever, how you was looking, she's dead at this point, so did not fuck with me at all. Couple of different ways. One, I was older than her, which is something I don't think about until now that I've gotten, older, and I'm like, yeah, that was fucked up, T.
What was the
And I
range?
cop to it. I cop to it. I was like 4.5, 5 years older than her.
I mean, is it like
When you start when they're young, yes, it looked weird. When I look back on it, I'm
okay,
like, yeah, that's fucked up. And I admit it. I cop to it
so
fully. I'm like, uncool. The thing is this, I'm a dork who never dated anybody. So it didn't stick anything to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was like my first and only love at that point in life. So I
yeah,
didn't look at it as like,
you weren't here being a predator in the high school lot.
no, not at all. And so it's like, whatever. But you add my shade and my age, and it didn't work out. But of course, and she like left her family to go come stay with me and so forth. We started our life together. Cool, whatever, whatever. But in the midst of that, sometime her grandma, that man, this man's who just passed, wife passed away, and so we had to go to the funeral. And they said, well, we needed another pallbearer, and I volunteered. But what my friends don't know is that I am definitely afraid of coffins. Always have been.
Okay.
That's a big step for your bands, but I was needed. And as my wife's grandma, who she loved, like loved more than she loved her mom, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I was like, I just was gonna support her. And when I did that, her aunt's uncle at the time, her aunt, no, her aunt, whatever, her aunt's husband at the time, I guess, like, so basically what it is, well, we had gotten to a point where, like, basically my wife would go with her family's house for the holidays. They go do she go do Thanksgiving over there, and she go do Christmas Eve, and that's fine. I didn't care. I was like, I'll go kick it with my people and do Thanksgiving, my friends, and you go over there and do that. But I guess that Thanksgiving, which was after, you know what I'm saying, her grandma had died, they was like, where your husband at? And she's like, yo, my mom don't let him come through. And of course, her uncle shames her mom. It's
No
like, you
shit,
gonna let him
huh?
come through, my man over here, you know what I'm
Yeah,
saying? A
like
pallbearer at
dude,
your mom's funeral.
he's doing right by the family, and he can't break bread.
So basically, then that the Christmas that followed that, I got the invite, and was, family ever since. And her grandpa was always right by me. Never ever treated me in any way but respectful and cool and kind. And always came through with bread for like Christmas and Easter. You know what I'm saying? Treats or
Yeah.
whatever. You know what I'm saying? Did right by my kids their
He's
entire
just like he's
existence.
like, listen, it's family's family, like,
Facts.
period.
And he was always just a dope dude, man. And I love him, and I will miss him. And but so I bring that around to say, this go around, they need a pallbearer. This time around, my son gets to do it. My oldest son, you know what I'm saying? And so he says, okay. And it's a wait. It really is. I know people are like, at this point now, pallbearer, that's nothing. And I go, no, bro, you really got to carry it at some point. And so, yeah. So literally to from the hearse to the grave. These men have to do what they got to do and carry that box. And I'm like, I'm proud of him for having done that and stepped up and done it. And I'm just like, what a sad end of a lineage, you know what I'm saying? But also, I'm proud of my kids for coming through and doing what they got to do for their family, for that side of the family. Got to see my wife's godmother and godparents in general. I hadn't seen them in forever, and they were shocked to see me. Not because they're shocked to see me. They were just like, oh, I didn't think your kids would have a relationship with their grandmother because your wife didn't really fuck with her mom. I'm like, you ain't wrong, but I tried to be better than that and make sure they have a good relationship with that side of the family.
Well, because I know you've talked about it in the past of like, kind of keeping the bridge together, like a link to the past. No
Yes.
video game pun intended, you know.
It works. Yeah.
But it does.
Yeah. And so that I think that touched her spirit, and I fuck with that, and I like that too. And I just like seeing that lady and her husband and stuff. And they're telling me, "Oh, hey, we're retired and we've been traveling the country. We went to Coachella." I'm laughing my ass off. These
What?
old people went to Coachella, and
That's
I'm like,
wild.
"It's wild, but it's dope at the same time." And I respect the shit out of it. I was like,
They just
"Hell
were
yeah,
like, hey, listen, we're new people. It's new times. We out here."
exactly." And they, like I said, they were happy to see us, and it was an honor to hang, kick it
They're
up in the
like, "Did
soap
you
on the
see
song."
Kenny Beats set? Shit was amazing. Fucking Bad Bunny's wild, right?
Oh my God. So I just that's some sad shit. Check one. Let's go check sad shit. Check two. I'm at the grocery store the other day and I bump into okay. I had a best friend in junior high and through life, my man Chuck D. Chuck D passed away some years ago. But and pretty much since his passing, I have not really kicked with his family at all. Just he kind of poofed away. And I accept it. It's cool. That's that, that I'm saying that was the link. And you know what I'm saying? It no longer exists. But I bump into his mom at the grocery store the other day, and she's like, "Oh, hey TD, how's it going?" And so forth and so on. And I'm like, she goes, "I'm gonna cry." I'll go, "What's the matter?" "Oh, my brother just died." Her big brother Jim just passed away. And I was like, "Man, that's crazy." You know what I'm saying? And she goes, "Well, you know Chuck died." I'm like, "What?" That's her husband. I go, "No, I didn't know he died. When did he die?" "He died back in December of last year, I guess." I'm like, "This is crazy." So then I get like two little, one death, two more servings of death. And I'm like, "Y'all gotta stop." You
Yeah,
know what I'm
like,
saying?
hey, one is typically enough, or even a near, like, hey, I
Yes.
got a real bad health scare. That's
Yeah.
we leave it right there. We don't need to
Yeah.
progress.
So that just was extra whack in its own right and so forth and so on. And like I said, as you know, like I said, this past week was my man Jeff's memorial service. You know what I'm saying? He died in August, but his memorial service, we did like an October kind of fest theme situation as a celebration of life for my man. And but this is the week we discussed as we record that episode of the podcast and said, we'll release it the week of your funeral, because I'm like, I probably ain't gonna be in a place to make a show that week anyway. I'll just drop that episode that week. And he's like, dope. And then we go through the whatever, the celebration of life, the service and everything like that. There, it's fine. It's really just chill vibes. It's at a VFW hall. We just really just eating and hanging out and chatting. Nothing to it. But as we all wrapping up and we hugging goodbye and shit, his wife grabs me and says, "The kids listen to the show. And they really loved it because they said they were kind of forgetting what his voice sounded like."
Hey.
It was over for your man. It was, I had not cried or anything. I was stoic and straight, and it just, nope, done. Cashed out, bro. And I was like, oh, fuck. My mama called me about that episode, my guy. I'm like, and she goes, and she said it gave her so much to think about. I'm like, that's crazy, but that's exactly what my man would have wanted. And I guess he had been like, other people were talking to me like at the funeral, like, "I heard y'all did a show, blah blah blah." And I'm like, yeah, but he had told me about it. I'm like, and I didn't know that. I wouldn't have known that, you know what I'm saying, that he had shared that he had done that with other people, and that it was something that would come out eventually. And I don't know, man.
Like
RIP to the homie.
I one, you know, that's a lot to weigh on one's like heart and soul. That much loss, that much struggle, because it does fuck with the mind of the living. You know, you think you reflect on your own life, your own place in the world, what's your future, what's happened in your past. Like it's too reflective. And then when you get hit with multiples, like that's a lot. And then you get hit with someone who's got kids, and it's like, I got kids, you know, like that's huge. So it's like that fucking weighs a lot. I got as far as I do plan on finishing it. It just is, it's heavy, it's
It
heavy,
is.
heavy. And I got as far as like when you talked about, because I'm not even into him, I'm still in you talking about like Ahsoka. And but hearing it in your voice, and hear you can hear the pain, you know, and that's hard. And it's like, I mean, it sounds stupid, but it's like when you were talking about like Ahsoka, and it's like, you're never gonna know how it ended. Like, and it doesn't fucking matter. You know,
yeah.
like, but it does matter because, like, you could have, like, if you just made it to the end, you could have seen the end. But in the big picture, like, that's what I'm saying. It's like a real, like, it fucks with your head, like, in a big way. And it's just like, because I always think about, like, I talk to my son about my cousin quite often. I have this cousin that, like, we grew up together and was a very big part of my life. Like, growing up, we were like only children for the longest.
Yeah.
So we really grew up, even though we were cousins, we were like brothers. He overdosed quite a few years ago. But it's in that same fashion where I'm like, there are so many songs you didn't get to hear. Like, there's so much you did not get to experience. Like, life-changing shit, like fucking great moments in like history, like you didn't get to be a part of that, you know? And it kind of makes you feel a little selfish, but at the same time, it's just like, it's a mind fuck. It's real hard, man. But I'm sorry you're going through all that. That's a lot.
Don't look at it as going through it. It's not going through it.
I mean, yeah. You know, the processing, the digesting.
True indeed. I don't want anybody to be like, oh, what was me for tea? Nah, man.
That's not what I'm saying at all.
No, yeah. I know you're not. We have to speak to the audience we listen to. You ain't the only audience.
No, and then I'm talking, motherfucker. That's me. I'm talking to you, T. I forgot there were other people there. My bad. I thought this was a phone call.
But it is of. I know it'll seem strange, but it's not strange when you hear it. When my kid's mom died, I was, of course, forever changed. But I have been forever changed, especially with regards to death and so forth and so on. It is a sock in your life that you don't ever expect to deal with when somebody like that at that level of life goes away from you. You know what I'm saying? And so anything that has followed, anybody's death that has followed, anybody's whatever has followed, I have been a little bit, I guess, hardened, maybe armored, built up for it. Maybe a callus. It's a callus that I have. And it's not that I'm like, I'm not a, I'm, you know me, I'm a sensitive motherfucker. I'm a crying dude, right. You know what I'm saying? But I'm a little more prepared for it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to use it a little more sharp for it, a little ready for it and so forth. And I know how to deal with it. And so Ray was 92 years old, man. Of course his time was coming. You know what I'm saying? Chuck passing away is wild whack to me, but I knew what his path was going to lead him to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just the path he was on. And so I kind of accept that. Jeff was sick for so long, you know what I'm saying? And he was a victim of the burn pits that you hear about all the time from the Middle East, from the wars we fought in the Middle East and Southeast Asia and so forth and so on. So it's like, that's just, it's the effects of this country being shitty sometimes, you know what I'm saying? And in fact, for two of those people, it's the effects of this country being shitty. So it's okay. That's why on the list of here, it says a bunch of shitty, a bunch of sad shit. Cause that's all it really is, man. It's a bunch of sad shit. And I, it's not to bring the party down. It's just to get you, my homies, caught up on life. You, the listeners, caught up on my life, man. It's just like, it's a little bit whack right now, but we keep our heads up. We stay positive. We know what comes with this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Plus, like I said, I may not believe in God, but I believe in people. So it's like, I find it dope. I was driving to get my kid from school the day after, or no, the day that their grandpa passed. And it just struck me. I was like, holy smokes, man, you get to see their mom.
Mm-hmm.
She was wherever, and to get to invite you and show you the path in. Like, hey, what's up, grandpa? That's fly to me. And it just made me feel so, it lifted my spirits. Because I may not believe in God, but I believe in people. And I believe that they existed. I know they existed. And so I'm like, yo, that's dope. You know what I'm saying? These spirits are hopefully meeting once again and communing. And welcome to this side. Let me show you the rules.
Yeah.
And I like that, man. So it brings me a peace that you sometimes need. And I feel okay about that. So whenever somebody die at this point, I always just, I tell my kids, I talk to your mama all the time because I do, but I always, like, when somebody passed away, I'm like, then I know, I'm like, hey man, is somebody new on the way? If you see him, show him the ropes.
Yeah. And I keep just, an eye, like, you know, keep what I'm an saying? Eye
I keep,
out.
That's exactly what it is, man. And we keep it moving, man.
Yeah. No, but I mean, I do appreciate you sharing all of that because, you know, it is a level of vulnerability to put out there. But at the same time, it's like, that's what lives are like, man. Sometimes you get hit with a lot of stuff, but it's about working through and kind of processing it. So yeah. I appreciate you for that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Let's pivot to Delvin.
Absolutely not. how you expect me to follow that?
Hey, that's on you.
No.
All right. I'll jump in. I'll jump in.
I will say
I'm going to tell you what Delvin's notes are. Uniting the culture? Probably not.
The month I've had with so much
bullshit. Drama in the LBC. I know, man.
Yeah. It's like, I know people are like, hey, don't you have an episode coming up with T? I'm like, no, I'm not putting T episode out there with all that shrapnel coming at me. It's been a interesting month.
Yeah, you want to talk about gun control?
No, absolutely not. Never again. Fuck you, people.
Man.
Do what y'all want to.
Boy,
y'all can't be helped.
Let me tell you, like that series. This is no disrespect to you. I was not gonna listen to that series at smart fucking man. All. Smart and man. Then I fell asleep one day. And then I heard someone talking some wild bullshit in my ears. And I was like, what the fuck am I listening to? And then it was the gun control episodes. And I was like, no, this person is a fucking idiot. Yeah. Period. Done. Delete. Swipe. No.
Okay. So did anybody mention slavery when it regards to the gun control? Did it ever come up?
Did slavery come up?
Yeah.
I don't think it did. See, this is the thing about the gun control episodes. They're actually really, really good.
I trust as much. You make good product.
Yeah, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Because this is what happened. To clue the listeners in on what exactly happened. So I did a 5-part series on gun control. It went off without a hitch. Like, you know, the first 4 episodes were just different people's opinions on gun control. Like, the first episode was Jason Dutch, who kind of is like a historian. He does like a political podcast. So he kind of gives a good history on how gun control started and stuff like that. Then you have like another episode with a guy named Q, who's a black gun owner. He talks about the importance of black gun owners and gun safety and stuff like that. And him, he used to be like a gun club owner. Like he had his own gun club and stuff. So he talks about that type of stuff. It kind of educates people on that type of things. Then you have John Domingo, who's on there kind of giving the typical gun argument that those people from the right give. Mm-hmm. Then you have a boy from the One Mike Black History podcast on there kind of giving you history about gun control in terms of black people and giving a very impassionate speech about it, how guns affect us and stuff like that. Which, so it was good. And then, you know, after all those episodes came out, we had a group conversation where we got people who listened to the episode together with one of the people who was on the episode, which was John, and we all had a conversation. So, I don't think the conversation was too inflammatory. Yes, John may have said a couple of wild things on there, but he was corrected in a polite way. It was a civil conversation.
Yeah.
Overall. Now, what happened after that conversation is where the problem started at, because people listened to the episode, people got their things and started commenting this stuff. And people, when the episode came out, people, of course, started challenging this man on his takes and stuff like that and the facts that he put out. And what came forth was just a massive conversation that's lasted probably all of this month, and it's still going
on
now.
It's been like a smooth month. Like, yeah. the conversation started the last time we recorded. So it's been straight up like 5 weeks.
of people via Twitter, via other podcasts, arguing about things that were said on the show. I was setting that Twitter thread that went on for days. And granted, you know, when you do these type of shows, you want conversation to happen. You want positive conversation to happen. I think the conversation around the show itself was positive, but the Twitter thread that transpired after it kind of diluted the point of the show because it became a shouting contest.
Yeah.
And just became just the whole people's echo chambers of arguments and stuff like that.
Because it's so like, are you addressing the topic or are you addressing the person? Those might not be the same thing.
Exactly. And it got to the point where I was like, I'm turning this shit off. Because I'm like, it was a movie that came out that day. It was a terrible movie, I think it was. And I was in the movie theater trying to watch the movie. And my phone just kept going off. And I'm like, oh, fuck no. I'm not doing this today. Yeah. I had to cut my phone off because it was like, it was so many notifications, like over 1,000 notifications, what you DMs.
You immediately mute that conversation and never look back.
Yep.
And the thing about it is, Elon Musk and his whack-ass Twitter, you mute shit and it just still goes through. Like, I'm like, what is going on with this whack-ass app now?
Yeah.
But it was a crazy month of conversation. Like I said, it's conversation still going on. People are still doing podcasts about my podcast.
That's, I'm
like,
crazy. You know,
and I'm fine with it. Only thing that annoyed me about the whole situation, besides the whole Twitter debacle, was the fact that people were having conversations about it and who haven't listened to the whole episode, all the episodes. I'm like, did you listen to all the episodes to get context for these conversations?
Well, and that's how definitely
dare you expect
what
us to get context,
right?
That would be mad.
That is what the internet is like.
Yes.
Oh, you got a hot take, hot headline, and then we never listen to any of it. Like,
exactly.
That's it's on like you.
People were doing the equivalent of going to watch Endgame first. They complain like, why this shit don't make no sense? I'm like, did you watch the other movies? Oh, now it makes sense. Like,
was Thanos really a bad guy or was he misunderstood? I mean, give him a chance, people. Give him a chance.
Like, he seems like it might be you guys' fault.
Yeah, maybe he just likes jewelry. You ever think about that? Like, yeah. I mean, oh, now we're jewelry shaming. Like, he can't, homeboy can't have a gauntlet.
Like, you go ahead and write down jewelry shaming theme. Thank you.
But
we just get that together real quick because I will text you guys later. What did we say we're gonna call
this? Let's go write that one down. The crazy thing about it is, I started this whole series last year, July, and I didn't put it out last year, July, because when I was doing it, like, shit got me depressed.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this shit ain't going to change. This shit's just awful. I don't want to put this out right now. And I, like, finally got around to it this year to put it out, and then it got me right back depressed again.
You were like, oh, no.
And I know people have reached out like, yeah, they're like, yeah, it was an amazing series. We learned a lot from it. We learned how people think. And that's my thing anytime I do any one of these series. I don't like to just like have people I agree with or like have people I disagree with them because I want people to see like, all right, this is how these people think. Yeah. This is so because there's a little bit of naivete in the world where we just kind of like hear our own point of view and our own echo chambers and don't think that there are people who out there who think a certain way, like we, and because of us ignoring that, we end up in the situation that we end up in,
like,
you know, electing people in office who probably shouldn't be elected in office.
Yeah, because it's just about, it's a hype game now.
Yeah.
You know, who's the loudest, who's the biggest, who's the flashiest, and it really isn't about like the content. And we've been ignoring content for so long, and not content in the true, in the, not content in the modern sense of like, I create content, but like in what you contain within.
Yes.
What can you bring to the situation?
And what that's you're what really about.
Yeah. And not content in like, I make TikToks. Like, that's different.
I think people ignore the warning signs and the red flags that we've been seeing about a lot of situations.
Yeah.
Because they just hear the bullet points of what they want to hear. Like, that's fine. We'll agree with that. That's what we want. Like, you know, when you see all these laws get passed by politicians that you don't like, you wonder, how did this person get in office?
Yeah.
They used to, when you look further into it, like, oh, That's how they got in office. We kind of slept at the wheel. We agreed with one thing, and because of that one thing we agreed with, we elected this fool. Now we're seeing the 99 other things we don't agree with. We're mad.
Yeah. Well, and I think the statement of being asleep at the wheel is very valid, because it's like, when you're like, well, how did we get here? Oh, well, you didn't see all the fucking road markers back here? You didn't see the signs? You didn't read those? Like,
they're there for a reason.
Yeah, they're there for you. You should have saw them. Because it also goes along with, how bad can it get? And then it's like,
that's my favorite.
Homeboy's literally telling you how bad it's going to be. Straight up telling you. Like, yeah. What the fuck? Nah, no one's that bad. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, some people are. Some people, yes, sometimes you got to take people for what they are. If people keep telling this is an awful person, maybe they're an awful person.
Yeah.
Maybe we have to show you that they're an awful person for you to understand it. Like,
well, even when they show you they're an awful person, it's still like,
yeah.
Some of these people literally, rioted at the fucking Capitol. And people are like, those were patriots.
Yep.
No, yep. Sir, those are assholes.
No, they weren't patriots. There's patriots in New England. They play every Sunday and they're not very good.
Well, Patriots is also on that Family Guy's color scale. Patriot. Yes. And then the darker you get, it's all criminal.
But
that's how that works out.
I will say this, to not get too depressing with this episode. What I have been doing to like keep myself mentally sane and emotionally sane, playing a lot of video games, and listening to a lot of happy music.
Good. Nice. Good. You got to find your space. Yeah. You got to definitely find your space. And I think right there, I'll pick it up. I'll bring some positivity to this conversation.
Thank God.
Because listeners are going to be like, fuck this episode. No. But, I will say, like, I've still been in a good headspace. I've been trying to be... I told my wife about this recently. I don't know. Oh, it was Bert Kreischer. He was on the, I listened to a podcast with Tony Hawk and Jason Ellis. And it is skateboarding centric, but they do have other guests that are non-skaters in there. And so Bert Kreischer was talking about how, and I might be fucking up the story, but the essence of the story is he was talking to his daughter in the kitchen. And they were just he was having a conversation with her about like how he was saying, like, I don't have to drink. I just like drinking, but I'm not in the place where I have to. So then she was like, yeah, right. And so then he's like, yeah, he's like, I'll go out tonight. I probably won't drink. Like, it's no big deal, you know? And so then they were talking about it. They were having a whole conversation. And then his daughter stopped him and was like, you know what? Hey, I got to tell you right now, this is the best conversation we've ever had, because you're here. You're present. You're not trying to write a joke. You're not trying to turn this conversation into a bit. You're not trying to figure out how can I make this into material. You're actually just like fucking here talking to me. And you're never here talking. Physically, you're present, but emotionally and mentally, you're thinking other things. And I was like, and that little story like really like resonated with me, because I'm like, I'm always thinking about like, okay, I hear your problem. How do I fix it? And so I can move on to the next thing and then figure out the other problem that's happening. And, I'm always managing shit all the time. But in always managing things, I'm not actually here in real time, because I'm thinking about getting to the end so that you can move on and then I could deal with the other thing. And so I need to work on like being here right now. So kind of been doing that, and really that's really like helped like my mental headspace a ton as well. But some fun things I've did this month. Went to the Run the Jewels. They did Atlanta, Chicago, New York, and LA, and they did each one of their albums every night. Now, because of the pandemic, I never got to see the most recent album be performed. So went to that, had the best time. Tenacious D came out and they did a DJ set, and that shit was crazy. Like, it was just so wild and so like fun. And then The Alchemist came out, and then he did a set, and he brought out Armin Hammer and fuck, did he bring someone else out? He did. And I can't think of who it is, and it's someone well established too. Damn, I feel like
Oh,
an idiot.
Alchemist, the producer?
Yeah. Because
That's cool.
Alchemist DJs, he does a little rap too, and he's just
Yes, he
well
does.
connected. So that was fucking cool. And then Run the Jewels did their whole set, and that was just so fucking cool. Like really, really good.
And
And
you
then,
went for RTJ4?
yeah, RTJ4. Yeah.
Nice.
And so that was like a really, really fun set. And then the sort of like the best part in the end is over the years, the friendship started with Trackstar. And it's like one of the first like early episodes of Games We Don't Play.
What's that?
But
Never
it's like
heard of
some
it.
old podcast, which apparently do not go to the Games We Don't Play Facebook page because it's been hacked and it is just full porn.
Oh, I'm going there right now.
Yeah. Mike from What Up No message just the other day and he's like, "Hey, what's up with your page?" And I was like,
Yo.
"I haven't logged into Facebook in forever." And he's like, "Oh, there's different kinds of games happening over there." But from Trackstar, I befriended his wife, Camille, and she's a very kind person.
Did you do that in the voice of Bill Cosby?
What's that?
Did you do
Oh,
that in the
no,
voice of
no.
Bill Cosby? My wife, Camille.
And we're not talking Pill Cosby. We're talking Bill, the one that we knew back in the day. So after the show, got to meet up with her and Track and their kid. And so it
Nice.
Was like just really cool. It was like the Palladium was all empty and clear. It was just us talking. She brought me out. She's like, "I'm going to bring you drinks. I'm going to bring you drinks." I was like, "Sure, sure, sure." And so then she comes out with like two of the Run the Jewels. It's their juice runners.
Yeah.
And the mezcal drinks and a beer. And she's like, "This is all I can find, man. I had to bring you something." I was like, "It's okay. You know, it's all right." So I was like, "Let me just, you know." So it was cool to just like, one, it's kind of like, it's like meeting T for the first time. You know, these are people, I actually met her a long, long time ago when Gavin was really little. It was like one of the, like the second or third time I had like talked to Trackstar like face to face. And so I met her back then.
Yo, Chalfie, I gotta say
Yeah.
this. Apparently, Games We Don't Play really likes Riley Reed.
Man, let me tell you, Games We Don't Play, that page is wild.
She sponsors the podcast.
Wow. All right. Yeah, Sean was supposed to handle that.
Yeah, he should have that immediately. This is wild.
Apparently, he's handling something else. I don't know. But, so that was really cool. Like that was a ton of fun just to connect with them. And like I was saying, when you meet someone you've mostly talked with online face to face, it's like that weird, I know you, but like we've never like been present. So that was just like super cool to have a good time there. And then I went over and they were selling the 10-year anniversary copy of the second Run the Jewels album. And it's beautiful because it's the kind of like the hologrammy type of cover, so you tilt
lenticular
it. Yes, that's what it was. I couldn't think of the name. And then it's the color vinyls inside, and it's two. One's the instrumental version, one's the standard album itself. And so
or
then
if you're lucky like me, it's two side B's or side D's.
What? Really?
I was going to spin it today while I'm still organizing my records, and I was going to spin it today, and I'm like, these are both the side C and D. There is no A and B in the container.
Shut it, really?
Yeah, so I got to figure out how to, I don't know, message somebody about it. I'll figure it out.
Oh, that's crazy. Hey, you
something
know
like
you
that happened to me.
Okay, so if you hadn't noticed, T talked about getting it too, because then I bought myself one, and I was like, this is beautiful. And I'm pretty sure T doesn't have one of these. So let me scoop one up from my homeboy as well.
Thank you. Thank you.
So then I get a message that was like, I opened the door and I saw this sitting on my porch. I was like, you know, it's always a nice little gift. So I had to hook the homie up. But yeah, that shit is weird that you got two sucked.
I have two, I guess two of the instrumentals is what it is.
Uh-huh.
And so I will have to, like I said, reach out to somebody and be like, hey, man.
I know they sell it on their site as well. So you might want to just hit up their site.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Let's see. Last weekend, we went to Jessica and I, we went to a Halloween party, and my wife went as a Playboy bunny because, you know, she's always got to turn it up and do the most. And so then I went as Hugh Hefner, which
I
I'm
like
the
it.
opposite of it. I try not to get dressed up. So when she was like, "You just got to wear this jacket and this hat," I was like, "Shit, yes."
Yes. Like, this is why I married you. Thank you for making my life easier.
Yeah, just done, done, done. But no, we had a good time. It was a real fun party. You know, my wife looked great. I mean, she's got the amazing physique, so she was just like, she fit the outfit really, really well. We just had like a blast. It was just a fun party. It wasn't super, super big, but the DJ was fantastic. Like, he did a great job of mixing the music so it was accessible to like everyone. It wasn't like lopsided. But he also didn't just play like dumb shit the whole time either. So it was like a ton of fun. And then people were just drinking, just having a good old time. And it was one of those things where it was like the guy who invited us, like his nephew was like a younger, like 20 something dude. And then he brought his girlfriend and she came as Lara Croft. Now,
Oh.
the funny thing about Lara Croft is that apparently Lara Croft knows how to throw her ass all over the place because that's what she
Oh.
did that
She must have been on
night.
the
She was, I think she was. Yes, she really was. So it was like, I mean, we had just a good time. It wasn't a super long night, but it was like the right night. You know, it was like just went out, blew off some steam, had some drinks, had some good music, just had some laughs, had a really great time. That was like just a really nice evening. And then I got a couple of funny stories. One is we just had Red Ribbon Week at school. And so when you have Red Ribbon Week, you always get good stories from kids. And so then one of the teachers told me that a student came to her and was like, they were talking about like drugs and drinking and this and that. And that the kid was like, "Oh, my dad really loves drinking. Like he loves beer. Like he loves beer so much that he, when he drinks so much of it, he ends up having to throw up." And
Oh.
it's like, oh, that's an alcoholic.
Oh.
Like when you always got to drink and throw up. Yeah, that's a different story.
Yeah, little Timmy, you're gonna get put in another home.
Yeah, seriously. I was like, keep that to yourself, buddy. We're about to call CPS.
Yeah.
And then this other story that's non-Red Ribbon Week, but my speech teacher was telling me, and I was fucking dying. She goes, she says the little girl was talking to her. They're doing the speech services and whatnot, and that very sweet little kid. And she was like, "Hey, teacher," and she says the kid's always upbeat. Like she's just like, "Look at the birds, they're beautiful. Look at my friends, they're amazing." Like everything is just always like the brighter side of things. And she goes, "You know what? My daddy and my mommy love each other so much." And she's like, "Yeah, well, you know, I'm glad they do. You know, that's really good that they care and they love each other." And she goes, "Yeah, like my daddy loves my mommy so much that I saw him last night. And he was just kissing her booty over and over." Was giving her kisses on her booty. I was like, sure.
Yeah, that's
The
love.
speech teacher was like, she's all, "I'm usually pretty good at responding to the kids." She's all, "I just went into, so today we're gonna work on like the B sound. You know, we're just," she's, "I didn't know what the fuck to say. Like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, all right, tell me about it."
Yeah, we don't
What's his
need to hear any
technique?
more.
How's he get down?
Right,
We don't need to
seriously,
hear
you
any more
know,
about
like,
that story.
yeah, I was like,
That story can stay right in the vault.
yeah.
No, thank you.
But so, you know, anyone listening, just if you got kids, your kids are telling us those stories,
Lock
just
your
letting you know.
goddamn doors.
Lock your doors, drink in your garage, we're gonna hear your stories,
Yes.
just letting you know.
Don't
Oh
let
my
your kids walk
God.
on you kissing booty.
Right, seriously.
Because it will be told.
It will be.
Kissing booty. You know
Yeah, kissing booty.
what
He was kissing her booty over and over.
I'm
And then
saying? Yeah.
I'll
You hope
try.
that
Right?
was
No, I just saw legs. I don't know. And then I'll go into the good to great. Good to great for me just last Wednesday, and it's kind of been the trend. Like, work has been really, really good, and like everything's in place. Like, my people are working, they're working hard, they're grinding. And what we're really working towards is just that umbrella of like serving the kids and serving the community. And so last Wednesday night was a late work night for me, because we did like a literacy night. And the goal there, and this is from parent feedback, was here are like two key pieces that your kids need to learn this year in this grade for reading. And then I'm going to give you some strategies so that you can support that at home. And so, we had a really good turnout. Like, a lot of our classrooms were full with, and we said, bring your kids too, because we want your kid to hear it. So then that way you guys heard the same message. You could talk about it. And so the parents left that and they were fucking hyped. They left with like, I know, I think I have a better idea of how to help my kid out. I really feel like I'm much more connected to the teacher now. Like, I feel welcome on campus again. So it's just like, sometimes it's like it takes work, it takes a lot of planning, takes a lot of effort, but like when you can make great things happen for like your learning community, it's a fantastic thing. So that's my good to great right now, is just like putting in the hard work and the effort. Like, this year I'm really, really tired and I've been coming home a lot just passing out, but I've been working. Like, I'm not passing out now because I'm frustrated and I'm just like, I just want to go to bed and start tomorrow. It's just been like, we're planning, we're prepping, we're organizing, we're putting stuff together. And it's just like, yeah, it's good work. And so that's my good to great. Let's go in reverse. We'll go to Delvin. What's your good to great?
And you know what? I just thought about this. I guess I could tell it because it's out right now. If you go on the, Halloween's coming up. If you go on the Tales for the Forgotten Network's podcast feed, they have a Halloween special where I play a role in it. It's called Always Listen to Your Crazy Uncle. It's a funny horror comedy or audio drama that I play a little small part in that you can go check out. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
They asked me to do something. I did something, and of course, in typical fashion, something happens to me. But yeah, go check it out.
Now, don't you have a Halloween podcast for Delvin Cox Experience?
Didn't we say good to great?
My bad. Not, oh, good. What happened?
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah, exactly. That should go on to what's up with that.
All right, we'll kick it over to T. T, what's your good to great?
Speaking of hard work, bro, I whenever the Great British Bake Off returns, for the last at least couple of years, we make a show called Crème Pâtissier, spelled with a K, of course, keep it in thing. Crème Pâtissier, it's a Great British Bake Off podcast, and I feel like we just have hit our stride this go around, man. It has been super fun to make because it's been a real fun season of the show, but also we're getting we're getting feedback like every week. You know what I'm saying? People are saying, hey, I'm listening to the show and I want to, talk to you guys about what I'm hearing and what you guys are doing. And that's very gratifying to have, to know you're not just speaking into the void and whatever. The numbers are decent. I got commercials once on Spotify. Now, only once, it only occurred once. But the fact that I got some, some commercials, Spotify dropped some commercials in, I was like, okay, that's pretty dope of y'all. And it seems that if you search Great British Bake Off, our show shows up. And so that's basically how we've been getting more listeners, because it's like it shows up in Spotify's search function. And they even tell you as much. They were like, look, we putting you out here, so hopefully more people will give you guys a listen. And it has been proven as much. And I'm just like, okay, we out here, man. And just, I'm very proud of the work I do on that show. It's very, it's a super niche kind of deal. Niche, niche. I remember niche when I was younger, but everybody been saying niche as I've gotten older, and I wonder which one is correct.
It's
Anyway.
niche. I believe it's niche.
I think it is
It's that
niche.
we Americanized it into niche.
Yeah. It has been just a joy to create that show with Nick Jew and I put a lot of effort into it. We all do. So, but I mean, I produce it. So I'm always gonna have a little more effort than my two hosts do. But I think we make a great show, and it seems like it's paying off. People are listening. People are interested. People are responding. Like I said, we're getting all types of feedback from all different. Like you can respond if you listen on Spotify because the show is hosted on Spotify, so that's some extra features built in there. And so people are interacting with the Spotify stuff. People are emailing us, and they're using our phone number and so forth.
That's awesome. Like,
that is real fun to actually have people say, "I like what y'all doing," and or "I have a comment to make about this week's the episode you guys discussed," or so forth and so on. And I dig it, man. I'm very happy with it. And so I bang with it. Creme Patissier, it's spelled with a K, K-R-E-M-E, Patissier. You'll get there.
And that's really huge because, like, for most podcasts, like, you know that it's probably, like for us, one of the three of us is probably listening, or zero of the three of us is listening to this episode. Or it's like the close circle of people we know. So you really just have numbers in a sense to rely on. But when you get actual feedback, even if it's just one, like that shit blew my mind when Delvin shared it with me. And I haven't really been logging in on Twitter, so I didn't even catch it. But like Cadillac on Mars made someone's list on like topical show, like their favorite topical shows. And I was like,
yep.
Word? Big. Like, people fucking listen to this show? Like, wow. You know, because honestly, it's like my wife listens. You know, like that's the only like steady feedback I have. And usually that feedback is, you should probably do this instead of that. And then I'm like, that's not feedback. That's trying to micromanage my show. So but so that, I think that's really, really nice, man. I'm glad you're getting that feedback because it just makes it that much more gratifying when you have a community you can interact with. Yeah. It just shifts it all into a really nice thing. So, man, I'm stoked. That's really awesome. That's good.
It's a fun show. You should listen to it. You should also be watching Bake Off because Bake Off is dope.
Mm-hmm.
No.
All right.
I'll
listen to T. I'm not watching Bake Off.
Okay. I'll tell you this.
Let me tell you something about T that I love about T. T is one of the coolest motherfuckers I know.
Aww.
He is the epitome of cool. Like, everything he does is cool. But the contrast to that is, T is into some nerdy ass shit. It's like some really nerdy stuff. It's like, but I get it, because I am too. I am too. Like, I listen to like a lot of history podcasts and stuff like that. Yeah. But it's like, people like, hey, you want to go watch this British Bake Off show? I'm like, no, I don't want to watch this British Bake Off show. I listen to you talk about it.
You can watch it just once and it's over for your ass. You're going to be into it, man.
T can put a spin on some shit. Like, you should have been a salesman because the way you hype something up, I don't got it in me. I'm like, damn, man, this show sounds brilliant. And then I'm like, this show is doo-doo.
Yeah, it's just motherfuckers cooking.
Yeah.
He done sold us on like The Wire or some shit.
Right.
Dude's out there baking a cake.
Yeah, seriously. But so I think that's the credibility of like a good host is.
Yes.
Because I know, is this your guys' third season doing this? Or
it is. It is. It's our third season of the British Bake Off. We've also done a couple of offshoots. One of the Great American Baking Show, which is just the American version of Bake Off. They just can't call it Bake Off in America because Pillsbury.
Yeah.
Shady motherfuckers. And we did The Big Brunch, which is on Max, which is a real fun show. If you have not watched it, the Big Brunch on Max, they only did the one season. Mm-hmm. Dan Levy used to be on Schitt's Creek.
Yes.
Produces and hosted on that.
Okay.
Real good. Real good show.
Yeah. I was going to say, I know listening to the first season, the way that you guys like dissected the show, I was like, such drama, such intrigue. Yeah. I need to watch it. And then I was like, oh, these fools be baking.
It's just bacon.
That's it.
Just bacon cakes.
Just bacon, man. No. I was like, the only thing I got from it is that I like a band called Idols, and they talk about Mary Berry and Tarquin.
Yeah.
And so then I was like, oh, that's who this is? Like, Other than that, I was like, I'm watching this shit. I'm just listening to tea because it really is some fucking some audio cinema.
Yeah, T's an amazing podcaster. I say
Yeah,
that
well,
all the
thank
time.
you for that.
I don't
All
say
right.
that enough, though, but he is an amazing podcaster. He knows how to paint a story, paint a picture. You know, he's amazing at it. Like,
Yeah.
his hip hop podcast is second to none.
Yeah.
It's too
Now,
rare. I need to make more of it. It's just, yes.
definitely.
That is a hard show to make. That's why it don't get made a lot of.
Yes.
It's a challenging and effortful show.
Before we get into everyone's favorite segment, are you listening to What Ha Happened Was?
Why do I know what had happened was?
It's the show with
Oh
Open Mike
yeah.
Eagle.
My Open Mike Meagle. Open Mike Meagle. Yeah, this season is of course Questlove. It is the host. He is of course the band leader of my favorite band in the world,
Right. That's why I was
The
like, oh, this
Roots.
is T shit right here.
Yeah,
Like,
and so for I'm like, why is what I like? It's time for me. Why is that not coming to me? It was not coming to me, dog. It has been. It is. If you fuck with The Roots, you already know. If you've ever looked at The Roots liner notes, Questlove writes books.
Yes.
He goes through and he writes so and so. It's like already he practically is giving you a podcast or old school like DVD commentary in the form of liner notes.
He's brilliant. Like
He really is.
he and not brilliant in the sense of like how we just toss that shit around. It's like, oh no.
Actually brilliant.
Yes.
Like scientifically speaking, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. His approach on
Oscar
characters.
to it now.
And Tony and so forth and so on winning. Here's what I want you to do. Let me tell you something. Open Mike Eagle is an amazing and gifted, talented MC, but also such a good host. First season was him and Prince Paul talking about Prince Paul's work with basically everybody,
Amazing. So
but
good.
a good focus on De La Soul. Second season was,
LP?
yes, LP, but it's kind of a pandemic season. So they do everything kind of over Zoom, and it just does not sound as good as it could have.
But
But it's
still, like
dope to
the.
learn all the shit about LP from Def Jux Days on to up here to Run the Jewels.
And it really gives you that sort of New York perspective at the time, too.
Yeah.
Like how things had shifted, got a little more grimy, a little more dirty.
Season three was Dante
Dante
Ross.
Ross.
He used to do A&R at Elektra and so forth back in the day. Just a dude who knows hip hop.
Yeah.
Good dude.
And
And then,
then that arc was uniting the two coasts because he was
yeah.
back and forth.
It's funny. I talked about this on Skim, that the Skim that comes up this week will have me talking about this same show. But you know, it's good that y'all should know about it and be listening to it. Open
Yeah.
Mike Eagle is really just so
Yeah.
good. He's such a good interviewer, and Quest such a good interviewee. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's dope to hear him discuss things like this. And then I'm getting stuff I never knew. And I know my roots history because
Right.
I've been down with it now, but I'm still learning stuff I did not know about. And so,
'cause two things real quick. One, I hadn't messaged you on this because I wanted to have this conversation like now.
yeah.
Because I was like, I know this is my man's shit right here. Like, this is the Roots. Like, this shit is crazy. And so I know, like, you fuck with him hard. So I was like, damn. Like, my man must be excited over this. Like,
And
seriously.
I hate that Open Mic got a habit of just ending the episodes, and I'm like, you got to give me some space, drift me out this
These
bitch.
episodes need to be twice as long, or this
Yes.
needs to be a double season because there's no way. Like, and because the second thing I was going to say, when Questlove said that was his mom on Nothing But a G thing,
Fucked me
I
up.
was like, what? Like, when he did I was like, I
Yeah.
know exactly what he's talking about. And he's like, that's my mom. And that he didn't even know. And I was like, fucking wild, man. Like, that
Think
shit is
about
so.
how amazing that is for just that's how deep the history of this band then goes.
Yes.
It's like, oh, your mom and pop were performers. They shit got sampled by one of the illest producers to ever have existed. You are yourself a producer and a musician of your own. It's like there's a lineage of and I don't know, man. It's just so good to find out.
Yeah. And then I
Great,
love
great
too
show.
that he is telling an honest story because it's like the Roots have a very upright persona in a sense. you know? But the fact that he was like, no, we were young boys and we got money and we started acting a fool. Like, and so really it breaks down that sort of that pedestal that they're put upon. It's not that he's taking himself down or, you know, self-deprecating. He's just like, no, we're people. Like, we were broke. Like when he talked about like what making like 125 bucks, and he was like, yeah, we could do date nights now. Like we could buy sandwiches and like go eat. But then he's all, but side note, I was making like a grand a week because I was working in an insurance office. So it was like he was really living this like not even a dual life, but like a tri life, because it was like he was going to a conservatory, he was doing a regular 9 to 5. And he was like busking on the corner. Like, what the fuck kind of life is this, man? It's crazy. So, yeah.
I can't wait to hear more about Scott Storch and Malik B. Malik, because you know he passed away recently enough, and I'd like to just hear a little bit more about his as much as his stories that his Quest cares to share. And I'm just interested in like the full. I want to have the full conversation about Do You Want More? Because again, that's where I learned about and fell in love with the Roots as a band. And so I can't wait for the episode to drop. And I believe it is it Tuesday or Wednesday drop? What is that?
Shit, I don't know.
I feel like that might be a Tuesday drop. And
Because what I do is I listen, I have like my cycle of podcasts, so like I listen to it on Mondays.
how funny. I love that you have the way you consume. That's neat.
Yeah. Everything's in bites. Everything's in bites, man. Tomorrow I'll listen to Danny Brown. Wednesday I'll listen to Tony Hawk. Thursday I'll listen to The Read. Friday I'll listen to PSVG, and then Saturday I listen to Married to the Games. Sunday, that's when I listen to Skim. That's my cycle.
Nice. Fair, man. I listen based on the day they come out. So I know what comes out on Monday is How Did This Get Played is my Monday show. Tuesday is Player One Podcast and Wine Ep. And the Doughboys Patreon show. Wednesdays is just John Hodgman. I think what had happened was, and Yo, Is This Racist?
Okay, I gotta learn about Yo, Is This Racist? Because that sounds like it might be up my alley.
It's only about they run them short, about 30 to 40 minutes tops.
All right.
Tawny Newsom, who's an actress, Andrew T, who's a writer. I think Andrew is Chinese American. Tawny is a multiracial woman, and she does the voice of a Mariner on Star Trek Lower Decks. If you watch
Okay.
Lower Decks,
That is
so
correct.
yeah,
I know
love.
that show because I listened to one of the shows that she's been on a couple of times. It's what is the call show called? It's damn.
Comedy Bang Bang?
No, not that one.
Okay.
It's now I gotta look it up. The
Well, they take voicemails from people asking questions about,
Yes,
racism.
it's a very
So,
interesting show. I've heard a couple episodes, but I enjoy it. I think you like it, Chaffee.
yeah, I'll check it out. Yeah, I used to listen to shows when they came out, but then it kind of fucked with my head too much because then if I didn't finish it that day, then I was like, ah, I'm a day behind.
Oh, nah, man. That's not, can't, well, that's just how your brain functions. You can't do nothing about
Yes. So that's what
that.
so for me, I either have to keep it on or break it up. And then now I'm like, now I got my system in.
There you go.
Beyond the
But
Bastards.
okay.
Just snapped in my head.
I don't even know that. What is that about?
Oh, it's a great podcast. It's like a history podcast about history's worst people, and it tells you the stories behind everything that they've done to make them awful people. Like they have one on like Napoleon, they have one on Coco Chanel, and it kind of tell like, and it's very interesting because it's stuff like I didn't know Coco Chanel was a Nazi, and how that
Yeah,
whole
crazy.
thing, like how that whole thing started, and how Chanel number 5 and all that stuff started, and all the stuff she did, and it tells a lot of really interesting history stories, and it brings other podcasters in to discuss it, and kind of like it's really insightful. It's really good podcast. It talks about how the crack epidemic started and stuff like that, and what really caused it. It's a really fascinating podcast called Behind the Bastards.
I'm gonna have
Hint,
to
it
check
was
it out.
Ronald Reagan.
Yes, there you go.
Everything bad in this world right now, especially in this country, you can source it back to Ronald Reagan, and I'm
Oh,
not
they talk
joking.
about that too. They talk about that too.
My favorite shirt and my favorite song, Glad Reagan Dead. Like, you had to be there to know people. Like, if you grew up on that time, let me just tell you, we had no arts, we had no nothing in school. Like, it was bare bones, and that was a thank you to Ronald Reagan. And in the tone of shitty people, let's talk about
What up with that? He said, she said, we said, he said, what up with that?
What's up with people just casually like sharing fucking hot takes? Like people just letting you know, like, oh, I may appear as a normal person, but I'm truly shitty inside. Like, and let me let you know. Like, for example,
who did this to you?
Yes.
Multiples. But this is like a thing right now where it's just like, oh, you didn't need to give me that. Like, number one, we're not friends. Number two, you didn't need to share with me. I'm just walking my dog. Like, you know, like,
I thought it was cool, Chaffee.
Seriously, like, I'm like, wow, what the fuck is up with people? Like, there's this guy in my neighborhood. We walk the dog, and he's just like, yeah, I had this type of life. I did this type of thing. I'm retired now, but let me tell you why socialism's bad and how I had to tell my grandson's fourth grade friend about the horrors of socialism. And I was like, just trying to walk my dog, man. Like, we didn't need to get into this.
This exchange did not have to occur.
No, that did it. You know what's good? Oh, what type of dog is that? Oh, shit, word? Yeah, these two are pugs. Okay, great. Hey, you have a good day, man. Stay out of the sun. Glad you got a hat on. We move. You didn't need to tell me that. Like, you didn't need to hit me with.
I have been saying this.
What, socialism is bad? Fuck you, Del.
for a while that something clicked in people's heads during the pandemic, especially after the pandemic, where they feel like they have to talk to you.
Yes.
And not only they feel like they haven't talked to you, but they feel like they have to be near you, whether you want them to be or not. Like, there are certain rules that we used to follow before the pandemic happened that we just don't follow anymore. Like, I find myself in the grocery stores or like a CVS, stuff like that, and I'm in a line, and people will get really uncomfortable close to me. It's a regular thing now. I'm like, why are you so close to me? Well, I'm trying to pay for my stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's no problem. Or they'll just walk up to you and just start trying to have a conversation with you. Like, why are you talking to me?
Yeah.
I have headphones on. I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to anybody.
But you know what? That's a good point, because it would be like back in the day, like, there's neighbors in my neighborhood I've never said one word to, but every time I see them, they're across the street, we wave, we keep it moving.
That was the rule.
I don't know their name. They're not coming to try to fucking, you know, they want to come eat at my house or anything. It's just a wave, a nod, we move. But this, and it's also a certain generation too, where it's like, your conversations you have on Facebook is not the conversation you have in public.
Exactly. Like,
when I don't need you to verbally share memes with me. Like, it's okay. it's all right, man. Like, don't fucking do that.
And one thing I will say now, and I guess it's maybe I'm old, maybe I'm bitter. Fuck it. I'm going to speak the truth. I am at an age now where I know I can pick my friends and who I want to talk to. And there are a lot of people I just don't want to talk to.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to. I don't want to have a conversation with you. I don't even want to know you. I know Drake said no new friends, but like at some point, like you have to close off. Like, no.
Let me tell you how many friends I have in face-to-face real life that I make plans with and kick it with. Zero.
Yeah. It's like,
And not zero because I'm like, nah, fuck people. Like, no, that would be nice to have some friends. But you know what? People do dumb shit like this. Like, I was dropping my son off at a friend's house to spend the night. Grandma was super, super nice. She's over here. They're making like a fucking baked macaroni. Kids are kind of hanging around, having a good time. And I'm like, this a good vibe around here. Everyone's like having a great time. She's having good conversation with me. And then she's like, you know, this city's really going down the tubes. It's like, you got all these like Mexicans like making tacos God on the corner. Damn. And I was like, we were just cool. Like, why did we have to do that? Like, I was just about to be like, damn, old white lady, you're all right. And then
you hit me with the if you didn't look so distinctly Mexican,
yeah,
I would be like, does this bitch not know?
Yeah.
But she don't know.
No, no. Because, like I said, you're used to just sharing memes and hot takes when on your fucking Facebook. Repost whatever it's fucking called now. No. You don't need to repost that to my face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, who don't love tacos? What the fuck is wrong with you?
Fuck you mad at tacos.
That right. Bitch don't love tacos. I don't fuck with them shit, son.
Right. Too spicy. Too... What's that pastor?
El pastor.
I don't do that. Oh, she's boy. Always, is it a gyro type of thing? And what is
the mayo is real out here in these streets.
Man. I'm telling you. So, like, listen, honestly, before you start oversharing, better to say less than to say more. Like that's why it is a phrase. Say less. Say less. Guy. Say less. Yeah.
Say or just less. You say see less. Me in the streets, just leave me alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Go
yeah.
Do something else.
Yeah.
I don't want to be bothered.
Yeah. You know, wave, don't wave. I'm good. Well, it's no, okay.
You don't have to wave at me.
You don't have to wave.
Act like I don't exist.
Yeah, because 9 times out of 10, I got my headphones in. I'm pretending to be like talking on my phone just because I see you mocking my way. And I'm like, yeah, T, man, it's just crazy, right? Oh, man, I know. Damn. And then they walk on by. I'm not talking to T. I'm not. It's 9 p.m. It's midnight at his house. I'm not talking to him. That's disrespectful.
Yeah. Yeah. I have. You ever seen the episode of Seinfeld where George figured out that if he looks annoyed, people won't bother him?
No, I've only seen a few episodes of Seinfeld.
It's a great episode, but I can't make the first joke anymore because that's insensitive now.
Sure you can.
Yeah.
That man played that role for years, and we got to respect his
how
work.
How can you not make a Friends joke? It's not like you're making a jacuzzi joke.
I saw one that was way out of pocket. it was so out of pocket today. I'm like, God damn it, nigga, body ain't even cold. It's so out of pocket. Like, you cannot make this joke.
Yeah.
About this well, man.
That's a different thing. But just all I'm saying is people just keep your hot takes to yourself. I don't need to know them. You don't need to share them. It's okay.
People have forgot the internet ain't real life.
Yeah. 1,000%.
That's why when folks get when they catch one, you know what I'm saying? They're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you can get beat up in real life, can't you? Yeah, yeah bro.
Yeah. 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 That's consequences.
Getting internet slapped in the mouth and actually slapped in the mouth have different feelings.
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with my lip?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to get you actually canceled, motherfucker. Don't yeah. You know what I'm saying? Not yeah. Internet canceled where you'll be back next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I fully am about to dot these I's right now.
About to baptize you.
Seriously, man. Fuck it. I'm just trying to walk my two stupid ass pugs right now. That's it. That's all I'm trying to do. That, you know what I do? When I go for a walk, this is why you shouldn't talk to me. Don't disturb me. I'm walking these two fucking pugs. They're both dumb as shit. And I'm trying to catch some fucking Pokemans. Let me catch the Pokemans. That's all I want to do. I want to spin the stops. I want to send some gifts. Maybe evolve something. Collect some candies. That's my me time. Let me be. Stop it with your fucking hot takes. So, I think we can all agree on this.
I find.
Yeah. But, you know, as I was talking about my Pokemon over here, because I still do grind on that. What are you guys playing? T, what you been playing?
Super Mario Wonder is indeed wonderful.
Yes. It really is. It really is.
Game of the Year contender.
Yeah.
Shit, man. Hey, you know what? I'm not deep enough to tell you that. In it to tell you that. But I really do fuck with it.
Uh-huh.
And Nintendo got that. It got that. You'd be like, man, I got to go back and get the other Wonder Seed. I can't just leave it. I can't leave that spot blank.
Yes.
Can't leave that pole, not gold, with the gold flag. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you go back, you start running through it again. I'm like, quit Quit doing this to me, Nintendo.
Yeah.
Get them books out of me.
And them seeds everywhere.
Yeah. Well, pause.
No. Keep going.
No,
that was intentional.
But you know what? That's right, though, because, like, why did I play the same level four times to just get one item? Like, yeah. Nintendo does a great job of making the most out of a little, because those levels aren't long. Like, it really does.
About 5 minutes if you really look at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it really feels like early, like Mario, you know, where it's just like you could burn through the levels real quick, but it's that replayability, or it's that, like, once you finish the level, you're like, fuck, but if I was the elephant right now, I probably could. I probably could do that. Okay. All right. Let me go back. Let me do it again. And then I'm fucking playing the level multiple times and I'm like, oh, I'm only three levels into this game. Why have I been playing for 12 hours?
That's exactly where I'm at, bro.
Pretty accurate.
I think I had like maybe two boss fights. Maybe? Yeah.
No.
I think I only had one boss fight.
Yeah, then we're probably in the same place, but put a gang hours in already.
Yeah, for sure.
But it really, it's like that game, it's just fun. It's just like, it's good, classic fun. You could play it straight up and just still have a good time. You could be this, if you're the trophy hunter type of person that's got to collect completionist type of thing, it's got that for you too. Like, you could do all the things. And I'm just like, this is fucking smart. And it's not clunky and it's not challenging. Like, where, oh, they added like 14 different mechanics into this. And it's just like, nope, here it is.
Yeah,
run.
It's challenging. It's challenging in the way it's meant to be, and that is, oh, look at this! Check this out. You know what I'm saying? Go explore some more and do some things, or you could just run through it. My son be beating Mario. He used to beat Mario games like that because he'll just finish the levels.
Yeah,
and that's not how I'm built. No. Like, no, we don't just finish levels. We go and clear house.
Well, that's like when it's one of the early levels. And I jumped from treetop to treetop.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, like, if you've played other Mario games and you are a gamer, like, things sort of click for you. When I jumped treetop to treetop and then the tree bounced, I was
And you knew butt slam.
Yes. I was like, okay. Didn't explain the butt slam to me yet, but I knew it existed and I knew the combination. And then I was like, bump, bump, fucking tree shot up. And I was like, because I know what this is. This is the equivalent of a yellow ladder or a red barrel. Like, there are some things, the discolored portion of the wall, that is something, you know, like this is so fuck. That game is so good, man. It's so good. I'm hyped up. Are you playing anything else?
I ran through it. Well, since last we spoke, I ran through multiple times at this point, the DLC for Resident Evil 4 remake, the Ada Wong Separate Ways DLC. It's very good. It's just as good as the game That's another goat even for me, Devin, man. I'm telling you right now, Resident Evil Remake is Resident Evil 4 was one of my favorite games of all time, and was my favorite game of all time until Dishonored 2. And now Tears of the Kingdom kind of has taken that slot. But yeah, that game and its DLC are amazing. It's only a tenner. It's $10 for that DLC.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And
for a good possibly 10, depending if you get real collectible like I am, 15 hours of DLC.
It's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic. You missed it last time. I fucked it up. Okay. So Resident Evil Remake was on sale and it was like, you can buy the regular one for like $30 and the deluxe version for like 40.
Yeah.
And then the way I read it as you would get the Ada DLC. And so then I was like trying to open up the DLC and I was like, motherfucker, it was Mercenaries. I was reading it all wrong. And I was like, son of a bitch. But it did give me a bunch of like extra stuff in there because it was like the definitive edition.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, like, okay, because I've beaten Resident Evil 4 tons of times. Like that one, I talked about this. Like I beat it on, what was it? The Wii and the PS2. PS2. Like
the Wii being the best version. Don't sleep on it.
No, that's factual. Like 100%. I am playing the remake version right now. I don't remember shit. It is a brand new game to me. Where like there's only like two portions where I'm like, oh, I remember this. Aside from the guy who's telling you, what are you buying? Yeah. The game has like been erased from my memory. And I'm gonna tell you, I beat the game like seven times.
It is just a different game.
Yeah, that's true. They changed.
There are some things that they yes, this will lead you to El Gigante, sure thing. But how you got there, the results of how you got there, and everything in between is different. Different, different.
Yeah.
Certain characters die a different way too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was like, did I get hit in the head? Because this game does not exist on my hard drive anymore. Like, I'm like, what? Like, this isn't it. So, but it's well done. Like, so, so good. And I'm on, I think it's 16 chapters. I'm on chapter 16 right now. My goal was to finish it before Halloween, and that would be my Halloween game.
Nice. But
I got shit to do, so it'll be going into.
It's like, I know it's racist, and I hope maybe they can fix it. It makes me excited for the possibility of them doing a remake of 5. Because I played the shit out of 5 on 360 back in the day. Because, you know, it was online. It's one of the first games I really got down with playing online with people on.
Yeah.
And yes, it's a wildly racist game.
Yes, full.
Yeah, this.
But maybe that can be fixed because, like I said, they changed so much in 4 that I'm like, yeah, I know you can do better.
Yeah,
yeah. And then, 4 could be considered the same thing too if you really look at it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then just for $10 for the DLC, I'm like, even though I didn't get it, I'll still get it for $10. Like $10 ain't shit.
Yeah.
Like $10 currently is less than a meal at McDonald's. So
yes, that's accurate.
So let's to put it in some context right now, I'm like, sure, $9.99, why not? Like, I'm definitely gonna get that shit. Delvin, what are you playing?
Playing everything, man. This is a hell of a month for gaming, man. Mario Wonder, Spider-Man 2, which is amazing, and Alan Wake, which I fucking love.
Really?
It is so good.
They don't make it physical, and I can't fuck with it. It's you know, I'm a hard copy buying motherfucker.
It is what I wanted in like a horror video game.
Okay.
In terms of like, you think of stuff like, I'm trying to think like a Silence of the Lambs or like Twin Peaks kind of feel to it.
Nice.
It has that feel to it where you're this detective and you're like walking around town and you're asking questions to people and you're trying to figure out what's going on. You're piecing together things and almost like a CSI horror story. And it's like,
What I hear you kind of telling me reminds me of what was the fucking game with the Origami Killer?
Yes. You talk about
Rain.
Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain. Rain.
Yeah. It kind of has that feel to it. Not with the,
terrible French-Canadian accents.
Yeah. I don't want to spoil the story, but you're like this FBI agent. You're trying to figure out what's going on in this small Twin Peaks as town and as
right kind of, falls word up, yeah. Man, I loved Alan Wake, the OG. So
yes, and it's kind of like as you're going through it and you're seeing these weird things going on, you're actually investigating stuff, and it's like really cool. The story starts off slow, like most crime horror dramas do, and as you're going into it and you're unraveling stuff, it's just really cool. I'm on chapter 3 now, and I'm absolutely loving it. It's like, it's going to be really hard to just pick out one game as my favorite game of the year. And it's crazy for me to say that Resident Evil 4 is one of my favorite games of all time. That being said, it might not even make my top 5 this year.
Yeah.
It's crazy that Goaties is still coming out at this point of the year, too.
Yeah.
By now, we should have been wrapped up. We'd be like, okay, we know what's what.
No, this year is one of those memorable years.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like some of the most amazing games ever, and then they fired half the goddamn industry this year.
Yeah, that too.
There's that.
They said, here's some record profits, and you lose your job.
Yeah, but that's it's so wild. I've been saying it on this podcast, like, hey, they keep asking us for more money for games, but they keep firing people saying we don't have enough money for games.
Yeah.
But yet they keep talking about they getting profits. These things ain't adding up.
Never does. Capitalism be wilding.
Yeah.
That
don't tell me you don't have money when we see you have money.
when you announce it to the world, that you have money.
Your earnings call.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's just crazy.
We hit record profits, but we fired half the staff as well.
Which is how we managed to get those record profits, because, you know, we cut labor.
Yeah.
Ooh, stop it. Don't get me preaching on this show.
And then I'll tap in on mine real quick. Yeah, so like I mentioned earlier, I'm playing Resident Evil 4. I'm playing Mario Wonder. Both of those are a ton of fun. And then Tahir was teased one of his favorite games. I have been playing Dishonored 2 on the Steam Deck. It usually goes with me when I'm charging my car. So then I just get like time to sit and just like dig into it. And it's great on the Steam Deck.
Have you got any games on the Steam Deck sale? It's a bunch of stuff on sale right now.
Oh, is there one right now? I'll have to check, because I was on the site last week and everything was kind of whack. So maybe I'll peep it today.
Yeah, for Halloween, they got a ton of stuff on sale.
Okay,
cool. I think they have the Spider-Man games right now for 50% off.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah, for both of them.
Now, as far as like watching things, T, what have you been watching?
The Bear.
Oh, that's right. Yes, you were going to start watching it.
Oh, my God. It's so good. And I of course have finished it. I literally just watched season 2 episode 10 last night. I kept holding off on it, like I don't want to give this up quite yet. But I was like, I got to watch it. I got to see how it wraps. And that show is Ted Lassoian. Again, I just talked about this on my show that comes out this week. So you'll get a double helping of me praising the Bear for how very much like Ted Lasso it is, and then how very different it's not. And then what I came to the conclusion on Skim is that Ted Lasso is a comedic show with dramatic beats. This is a dramatic show with comedic beats.
Yeah.
And they both work so well because of it. Super well acted, super well shot. Some of the season one, episode seven is a single shot.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about how they did it, and so and how they wrote it to work. And it's just like, it's amazing. I know everybody loves season two, episode six, which is the one where all these actors show up, and it's a Christmas episode. And everybody in that motherfucker acting their ass off, but it was like a stage play to me.
Yes, very much so.
And so it actually takes away from it to me. The actual episode that I think is the one that bangs for that season is episode seven, called Forks. And that's the one I think I think if I could recommend you an episode to watch, you watch.
What happens in that episode?
Forks is when Richie goes and works the greatest restaurant in the world.
That one was, you see, and that's what I liked about this most recent season, is that it let the other characters develop. Yeah, when Richie like took the lead and like how he changed, because the other one I liked too was when the fucking homeboy went to like what, Stockholm or something like that.
Yeah, to Denmark. Yeah,
Denmark. Yeah. Like that was an awesome episode too, because it was just like he got to do his thing, he got to shine, he got to develop, and then came back to the shit. You know, like after having this like moment of just, I felt like this most recent season is, it did Atlanta, but better. Whereas Atlanta got weird, like this one kept it tight while still being loose in a way, you know? And I think something The Bear does really, really well is that it says a lot in the empty space. Like it lets the scene breathe.
Yeah.
It allows for a tone to develop instead of just words, 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 words. It's like a look, a stare, a sizzle, a scene, you know, like it's like, oh, there's some shit happening in here right now. Show is so good. And then the fact that they went to Pequod's, and I was like, I've been there.
Bruh, it wrecked me. I was just like, yo, that's where we went to go. Because in life, the one time I have met Chauffy in actual meat space, we went to Pequod's. We went to that Pequod's.
Yes.
Oh. And so I saw it when I was watching the episode. I'm like, hey, yo, that's where we went. And
that was in there.
Yeah. That is super dope to me. Yeah, also, it kind of gives you a sense of space of where that restaurant is supposed to be located. Everything, man. Just fuck with it.
Yeah. When that scene happened, I was like, because they said like how it's like situated too, I was like, okay, actually this, and then that's like over here, and then I was like, oh, and that's where I met T and Dan, and like we were all there, like we were in the room, you know. Ant was in there. So that shit was like really exciting to just be like, oh, these are like true locations, you know?
Yeah.
So the bear is a fucking hit, dude.
God, this show was so good. Bro, it's only two seasons, 18 episodes total. First season is 8 episodes, second season is 10. And they're like, the first season, I literally binged that first season at a night. Didn't even intend to, but stayed up to like 4 or 5 in the morning and watched all of them.
Yeah. And I think you would have to be hard pressed to find someone who couldn't enjoy that show for some reason. Yeah. Maybe the tension might throw you, but the way all the characters move is like, it's amazing. So
yeah,
okay.
I'm glad you're watching it. How about you, Delvin? What you watching?
No, when I talk about something positive, I ain't gonna talk about what I watched that made me want to throw a TV set.
What are you watching? Snuff films, man? Relax.
No. Look no, because I was going to say the Five Nights at Freddy's movie, which is absolutely awful.
Okay. I watched it.
What did you think of it?
Okay. So, the movie's not good.
it's terrible.
But I will say this.
The animatronics look good.
Yeah, the fact that they're like practical effects, that shit was amazing. But watching it with my son, because he really wanted to watch it. And then I was opening up the Fandango app, and then it was like an ad for Five Nights, and it was like, watch it on Peacock or watch it in the theaters. And so then I was like, oh, well, I still got Delvin's account. Let's see what's going on. Watch it on Peacock for free. And so what was really, really helpful for me, because like Gavin was heavy, heavy into Five Nights at Freddy's. And I struggled with Five Nights at Freddy's because the story isn't there. Like, it really is just like camera one, camera two, flashlight. And I was like, I don't understand the purpose. Like, I'm not getting this game. And then, so he broke down the lore and he was like, oh, and this is this, and here's the story, and here's, and that made it interesting because the then I would
talk. Lore is incredible.
Yes. And so when we would talk, he was like, okay, so here's the yellow bunny and here's what's going to happen and here's the significance. And I was like, oh shit, what? And then he's like, oh, that's the voice on the phone. So that means, so as we were, it was almost like he was giving me like a behind the scenes director's cut because I didn't have all that stuff. If I would have just watched that movie cold, I would have been like, well, that's an hour and 50 minutes I wasted in my life. But sitting and watching it with him and having him sort of walk me through the story, I was like, oh, now it's good. Because now I get it. Like, now I understand. But the story, the movie doesn't give you all the background that is necessary to make it a good movie.
And that's my problem with it. I watched it with me, my son, and my daughter went on opening night to see it. Well, yeah, before opening night, actually. Because opening night technically was Friday. We went to go see it Thursday night in the early screening because he really wanted to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the lore of Five Nights at Freddy's because Five Nights at Freddy's one of those games I always wanted to play.
Mm-hmm.
I just haven't had time to play it. And like, you know, my son loves Five Nights at Freddy's. He loves the lore and stuff like that. So when I went to go see it, the first hour of it is just boring with really bad acting.
Yes. Like
the acting is bad, bad. And, you know, my problem with the movie was the themes that you want out of a horror movie aren't really there. Like the whole movie, it's like maybe like four deaths in the whole movie.
Yeah, it's not a horror movie at all.
At all, at all, and they only show one of the deaths.
Yeah,
so it's like
it's PG-13. It's just it's shooting for a particular audience.
Yeah.
And so you just have to, it probably in your mind suffers for that. But for them, it's like their top, Blumhouse is now a top grossing flick ever.
Yeah.
With like 156 million global now. And so I'm like, there you go. And if you go look at like your Rotten Tomatoes score, critics hate it, fans eat it up.
But even Gavin was saying, he was like, I think this movie should have been an R. And I was like, why?
I agree.
And he was saying that like it's his age group and he was still even a little bit young for it. So he's like, still, he's like, most people that played Five Nights at Freddy's are like gonna turn 20, are 18. He's like, so they should have the movie with the gore. It should have been like an hour longer and really like develop it.
And the thing about it is, Five Nights at Freddy's lore is like gruesome as fuck.
Yeah, that's why
It
when he was
is
breaking
dark
it,
as shit.
when he was breaking it down for me, I was like, oh, I need to know that shit. And so then I was like, how did you learn all this? And he's like, well, he's like, in this game, they tell you this. In this game, they tell you that. They tell you this information, that information. And then I watched this thing like then on YouTube where someone else broke it down. And I was like, oh, it's like Destiny where the lore is real
Yeah.
rich,
It
you
is.
know?
Small spoilers for Five Nights at Freddy. It's about like child death in
Yes.
like great gruesome detail. It's like horrifically
Yeah. Like when
explained.
you, not to spoil it and I won't share it, but when you learn how the animatronics are alive, it's like,
Yeah.
oh, that's fucked up.
Really fucked up. So I in my head I was like, well, I know they won't get, I figured they wouldn't get all the way into it.
Yeah.
But they would get somewhat into it. And we're like, all right. They got into it on the bare surface level of it. Like, not even like even a little bit. Like, oh, something happened. This is why this is going on. They really didn't explain it and stuff like that. I'm like, that's a little disappointing.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have did more with that lore.
Yeah, no, definitely. Might have been a better like miniseries.
Yeah, I agree.
But like T said, it made a gang of
Bank.
cash,
Yeah.
like
Hey,
breaking records.
post-pandemic movie theater world, that's dope.
Yeah.
That's like going gold on Spotify. Yeah.
Yes. Now they really pull through. On my end, my wife and I started watching the latest, and I don't know how ever long it came out, but the latest season of Black Mirror. And it's a really good fucking season because I watched the first season, and not that I didn't dislike it, it just wasn't strong enough for me to want to come back. And then I'd seen something on TikTok that was like a clip from something from this most recent season. So I was like, I'll check it out. Damn. It is like some of like the best like writing, acting, or taking a chance that I've seen on TV in like a long time. Like the episode I watched last night, I super recommend it. It's about this woman who just basically has a real ho-hum life. She cuts her finger on a talisman, so she has to kill like three people before in 3 days type of thing.
Okay.
Just based on that, what you don't understand is that it's a love story. Like it's so good. It's like this season is like solid. There's probably only one episode that I was like, that one's kind of garbage. But the rest have been really, really fucking good. So if you haven't caught up on Black Season or Black Season, dang,
Yeah, Black
racist.
season.
Is
It's almost Black season, baby.
that racist? Hey, February. Nah, I'd recommend Black Mirror. Like, I'm definitely going to go back and watch some of the other seasons I've missed, but this one is like it's on point. Definitely on point.
Y'all watching Loki?
I haven't started yet, no.
I've watched the first two episodes. I'm still going through it.
So the first four
It's great.
episodes is what everybody was given to review. And IGN gave Loki like a 5 out of 10. And I was
Yeah, I
like,
want to say it was real low.
and I was
Maybe even
like,
like a
huh.
4.5 or something crazy like
I'm
that.
like, wonder what's up with that? And now that I've seen the first four episodes, I know, and I've been saying this for a little bit now. IGN's TV and movie reviewers, whoever they are as of late, have just been on some bullshit.
Yeah,
Are
I would
terrible.
agree with that.
I would tell you to not put your faith in IGN's reviews because these first four episodes of this show were fucking
People are
fantastic.
giving it critical acclaim. They're saying Marvel is back because of these first four episodes.
Yeah, so I'm not I'm just telling you, wild dope, considerably better than a five.
Okay.
Eight and a half, nine in my current book, and I really really love it, and I love the guys, I love the actors in it, Keith Wong from Everything Everywhere All at Once, and
And Indiana Jones.
of course, and the Goonies, for the OGs, Eugene Cordero, who again I know from Lower Decks, because he does a Lieutenant Rutherford on the Lower Decks. Just like what's his face? Kang the Conqueror. I can't think of his name right now. As Victor Timely is the character he plays. It's like,
yes.
Everybody's is on their game, is on point, and it's really, really well done, and just put some respect on it.
There you go. No,
I'm gonna check it out for sure. It's on my to watch list, but
yeah, it's only gonna be six. It's only a 6-episode series, so you just let it all stack and then watch it all.
Now I heard it was like split though. Like this is six, and then it's like a split season. This is season two, part one, and then there's a season two, part two.
Hey, if they're doing that, I have not heard of it, and I will patiently be awaiting. So. Yeah.
Now let's see what else. Oh, what you guys spinning? What you guys listening to?
I was trying to listen to Run the Jewels, and then, well,
and then you got two side D's.
No, so my copy of Wolf on that pink vinyl arrived finally, and so I've been actually spinning that. Wolf is not slept on. Everybody knows how dope Wolf is, but Wolf is a very good album, man. Tyler really did something with that album. So I would say if you have not heard Wolf and I Got Down with Wolf, he do throw the F word around loosely. So so you might be could lead to some offense, but
keep it in your buds.
Wolf is a story. There's a story being told on the album. So it's kind of more like appreciated on that level, and I think you'll be okay. He's not just, you know, being a homophobe.
Yeah, if I go for a walk, should I tell people how much I love this album and then just tell them like every time he says that, like I should just say it out loud to their faces?
I think you should. Yeah, you teach know, a lesson. Sure. Maybe I'll leave you alone.
Fine. All right. Maybe.
Yeah, you should be listening. You should check out Wolf, man. Hey, like bro, yeah. Hold on, I'm about to y'all spin. Look at him. Look at all of them.
Nice.
Yeah, man. I've been working hard, and like I finally got the vast majority of those scanned into Discogs.
Damn,
I still got some to go with. Like I got like four boxes left to go with. If you like, you count those as squares. I still got four more to go through to get them all. But having finally done that, because like this time I was like, well, if everybody's off the shelf, then I need to finally take advantage of that. So I finally just went through and scanned everything that has not been scanned in, and
So email me a link or something on some shelving organizers, because if you got a recommendation, because I've been using my two cases and now my cases are full.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I think it's time to transition to something else.
The Calyx from IKEA. It's the one. That turquoise one I showed you, that's the Calyx. The one over in the this way I actually got from Target, and it's fine. Uh-huh. But the Calyx is built like a tank, and so it's a much better Kallax. It's IKEA. They come in different shades and so forth, and you might be able to find them. Just you know,
yeah,
fuck with it.
Just the standard. What do you listen to, Delvin?
I had to look it up. The Weezer, the Teal album. I'm really enjoying it. Is what it is. It's a Weezer album where they do nothing but cover songs.
Yes. I do remember that.
It's really good, and I usually don't like covers.
Yeah, but what made you start listening to Weezer album? Like, how'd you get there?
I was in a store, and they played Weezer's version of "Take on Me." I'm like, "Damn, this actually sounds as really good."
All right,
I'm like, "This is as good as the original version."
Nice.
And I said, "You know what? Let me listen to it and." Listen to the album, and I'm like, this is a really good album. I really enjoyed the album. It's a lot of covers of Stones, like, you know, No Scrub, Stand By Me. They Take On Me, Street Sweet Dreams, Africa. Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Yeah. I remember that version of Africa because...
because it was like a big thing.
They released so Toto some years before had released an Africa-shaped vinyl for Africa. And then Weezer did like a similar thing. They released like an Africa-shaped vinyl for their cover of Africa.
Oh, okay.
Records are weird, man. Like Devin said, I'm a dork about some things, and records is one of them.
But yeah, it's surprisingly really good. Go ahead, T.
Victoria Monet's Jaguar 2.
Oh, that's your other album. Yeah.
Bruh.
Good
I
shit.
fell in love with fell in love with Victoria Monet last year at some point, maybe even earlier this year, off of one little 51-second fucking interlude off her first album, Jaguar, which apparently I guess was an EP, but whatever. And she dropped her full album, which is Jaguar 2. It might be it is up there for maybe my album of the year.
Yeah.
There you go. That's impressive.
Fuck with it. You need to go listen to Victoria Monet's Jaguar 2. Listen to all of it. It's so good. She got Earth, Wind, and Fire on that bitch.
Damn.
Yeah, that's impressive. It's amazing. It's an amazing album. And yeah, you need to listen to it.
Nice. Yeah, for me, I just got this year's been an interesting year because it's like, or at least this tail end, I think ending 23 going into 24 is a lot of like you consider like your sort of tentpole grunge albums and whatnot are turning 30.
Yeah.
So like the Breeders album just turned 30, In Utero just turned 30. I think Pearl Jam might just be turning 30. Siamese Dream as well. Like all these albums are turning 30, which is like I don't know how when the 90s were just like 4 years ago, but that's me. Yeah.
So wow.
So yeah, my copy of In Utero just arrived, and then a while back, T sent me a leak that Urban Outfitters was going to have a bunch of like color variants of Beach House albums, and actually quite a few of them I didn't have. So two of them started showing up, one got canceled, and one's back ordered. The one that got canceled, I'm not too hard up on it. It was going to be a Beautiful Purple, but I already have that version, so I'm just like, all right. It would have just been a double up. But the ones that did come, man, they look so good. So kind of stoked on that. And then I spent the weekend putting like all the proper sleeves on like my albums and just kind of getting them together. And so that was like a fun thing to just kind of sit there and be like, oh shit, I want to listen to this one once. I should listen to it again, you know? But then I was like, I don't have enough shelving. I'm fucked.
That's usually how it goes.
Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Join us. Become a scumbag.
Yeah. So, so then my wife was like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing on your phone? I was like, oh, I'm looking for like vinyl storage. I just heard a light grumble because I'm like, all right, let's see how I make this work. So,
yeah.
It's all good though. I mean, because it's like, shit, you know, that's like the main thing for me is like, what good music out there? What is there that I can pick up? What can I enjoy? And let me tell you, like, these albums are fucking hot shit. It's just good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's a fun ride. So, and I do have to say, like, it really is a different experience from just like queuing something up in my like Apple Music versus like listening to the album, like cleaning it up, dusting it off, putting the needle down. Like, that whole process is such a more intimate thing.
Intentionality.
Yeah, yeah.
I intend to sit and listen to this body of work. Uh-huh. I've spun my music on vinyl copy of Raekwon earlier tonight, of Only Bill, you know what I'm saying? And so I just, because I like that version of it, and I'm like, yeah, this that shit, man. I love it. Yeah. I love records, bro.
And then once it gets to the end, I also feel like it makes the arrangement make more sense, where I'm like, oh, yeah, this is a side A.
Yep.
And it did end well. And now when I flip it, yeah, this is a side B. Mm-hmm. Or in your case, it's side C and D and side C and D.
I already know I was trying to start the process of contacting them. And I'm like, it says attach. I'm like, they're going to want photos. So I'm just going to have to snap some pictures of it.
And just be like, here it is. This is like literally two of them. I don't know what the fuck to tell you. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
That's funny. Well, I think that's a good place to kind of wrap things up for the evening. I just want to say thank you to everyone for listening. For T, for Delvin, I'm Chalvy. We out of here. Peace.
Peace.
What'd you say, Grandma? Mama.
What? Grandma's not here.